Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to Weird Things. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Justin Robert Young and Brian Brushwood. Our producer is Mr. Bryce Castillo.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Man, I like this. This is fast. It's time compressed. Let's get to the weird.
Yeah, so first is a new segment we're trying on Weird Things called Why You Should Invest in Bitcoin.
we're right on time, man.
Ahead of that curve. No, we're not going to do that. Okay, how about why to short Tesla? No.
Should we short Tesla?
All right, we'll just stick to weird stuff then. I'll totally stick to weird stuff.
Bitcoin's pretty weird. Its price fluctuations are weird.
Yeah. I had friends like 3 weeks ago, like, oh, you really need to get in. I'm like, I don't have the temperament for that.
3 weeks ago was 3 months too late.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. No, I'm a couple months. I like literally was back in early December. And somebody's like, oh, yeah, you need to get in or whatever. And I'm like, I'm not doubting. I'm just saying it's not my thing. I don't have the temperament for this. And clearly I don't.
What's that? Was it on this show we were talking about? Like, I want to say it was like JCPenney or Sears or Ford. Henry Ford was saying that shortly before the crash, he got stock tips from his shoeshine boy, and he realized once the shoeshine boys have stock tips, the market is saturated. It's time to
get on. There was another one, like Alfred E. Loomis, I think, too, in Tuxedo Park. I think he talked about being in the elevator, and the guy running the elevator, you know, is like talking about stocks and stuff. He's like, this is not, you know, not to be an elitist thing, but it's like you realize that people who are spending not a lot of time studying are getting into it. But
right,
the modern version of that was all my Florida friends on our group chat. Now all of a sudden we're experts in Ethereum. I'm like, like, I'm not saying that, like, that was to say nothing about the future viability of cryptocurrency. When they're hot into it, it is time to think twice.
Yeah, and I think there is a future. And I think even for Bitcoin, I think there's a floor. And I think there's so many people who have money who can't really pull it out because it's gambling money or whatever like this. So I think it's a future in it. But it's just my argument is it's just too volatile for me. It's just the kind of thing where I don't have the temperament for it. But, you know what I also don't have the temperament for is awards shows.
Just in general?
Ones where I'm involved with.
Oh, wait, are you involved in an award show?
Oh, geez, is he? I mean, this guy being nominated all over the place. Congratulations to Andrew Main for being nominated for an Edgar. You might know its name after Edgar Allan Poe.
And Edgar Rice Burroughs. He was the silent partner in the Edgars. Yeah. Edgar Wright is rumored to be on the board of directors.
Yes. Medgar Evans.
Congratulations on your nomination over the weekend.
Yeah, so Blackfall is the third in the Jessica Blackwood series. Is it common for later books in the series to show up, or is that because it's built up a brand and a story, or just like the other ones weren't as good and this is finally the best one?
I have no idea. Well, the second one, Name of the Devil, got nominated for the Thriller Award. So in each genre, like in science fiction, like the biggest one is probably the Hugo, right? The biggest one's Hugo, right? Thriller, it's the Thriller Award. The International Thriller Writers, the big conference of them. So Name of the Devil got nominated for a Thriller Award, which came as a complete surprise. That was really awesome. Everybody was really thrilled with that. And then the biggest, you know, is really the Edgars for mystery. And, James Patterson won for like the Berryman number or something like that in the 1970s. And that was sort of like a big thing for his career, was that he won the Edgar for that. So the Edgars are huge for mystery. The third one getting that, I don't know. I have no idea how or why this happened. I'm thrilled beyond thrilled that this happened. And, you know, and also we've talked about this before, like, I liked the book. I was happy with the book. I put the book out there. Book did okay. They didn't really do like gangbusters. Didn't do like naturalist numbers, you know. And I had fans who read it who really liked it. But then you're like, okay, that's what the book does. You know, now I'm going to go write another book. And then you're kind of like, maybe I'll do another Jessica at some point. And then, you know, in the middle of talking about naturalist stuff, all this, I get a call from my agent on Friday. And she's like, did you see the Edgars? I'm like, or the nominations? I'm like, what? She's like, I got the list and somebody said, take a look. And I kept looking for The Naturalist, but The Naturalist wasn't there, but it was Blacklist or Blackfall.
What an emotional roller coaster it was like for you to hear that. Like, oh, so you're calling to tell me that The Naturalist didn't get an award nomination.
Well, I knew something. And then I got pulled up the list and I see there was Blackfall. And then I'm like, what? You're like, it's more not even like, yay. You're like, what's going on here? And then it's also trying to phase in because, like, the Edgars are, you know, my role are big and my role are really, really big. So it's like, you know, of course, it's one of the things I then have to explain to my parents what they are. Like, hey, guess what? Nominated for an Edgar. Okay. Like, no, it's really,
is that
really
like
big.
An Oscar? Is it kind of a baby Oscar? Did you get a baby Oscar, sweetheart?
Yeah. Like, last year, like, one of the winners was Noah Hawley. He's actually nominated again this year.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
It's like, yeah, it's,
dude, that's huge. That's great. Yeah.
I mean, go look at a list of some of the other people on there. Take a look at some of the books.
First of all, what I'm doing is I'm commiserating with the plight of any entrepreneur who has to explain his...
No, Brian, I'm very important.
It's just, you know, your parents.
A thing. I mean, I know people are saving lives in hospitals and stuff and educating children and stuff, but I wrote a thing.
I told a really scary story,
I made
Brian.
A story.
Edgar thinks it's great.
Yes. I made a story. Yes, there are men and women fighting for our freedom all across the world. I understand that, but I wrote a story.
What a strange world. There was this moment that, you know, for some reason, I managed to go like 15 years of thinking that, oh, Bonnie does art and I do magic. Bonnie does something I don't understand. I do something very valuable to the world. And then one day you look up and you're like, oh, no, wait, we're both artists. We're both comedians. We're both clowns. And our job is to make the world a little bit happier, basically.
Yeah, I had there's a thing, a project which may or may not happen. If it happens, it'll be interesting. If it doesn't happen, it'll be a funny story to tell. And there's sort of is an element of danger involved. And I'm on the phone with people like this. Oh, you're worried about that? I'm like, my brother's like on the SWAT team, you know, my father used to go up against, my father's name literally showed up on hit list for international crime organizations and stuff. Like my sense of like my level of professional danger versus what I grew up with is.
Yeah.
I'm the baby coward man. You know?
Baby coward man. That's your rap
That'd
name.
Be a great name for whatever comes of that story.
Baby coward man. Anyhow, you know who's not a coward?
Who's not a coward?
The first person to ever be revived after being cryogenically frozen.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about like when the Russians first tried open heart surgery and they did it by packing the body in butcher ice, and then they didn't have a heart lung machine, so as they work on it, they would just take the open heart and just squeeze it to pump the blood. You talking about that
up
guy?
To like one of their big Volga trucks or something like that.
No, that's a real thing. I forgot what documentary I was watching on the invention of the heart lung machine, and they were like, it's this amazing technological wonder story in the United States, and then in Russia, decidedly they used a pencil, basically, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that story is completely.
The pencil. Wait, are you talking about the heart story or the pencil story?
The pencil story. Yeah. I hate that story because it is the wrong lesson. The wrong lesson, and it's this: all you need to do is a pencil and have loose graphite in your cabin that floats inside your eye and messes up with your spacecraft. And the whole the United States government never spent the money for the space pen. It was Fisher did that. You know, it's one of those. Ah, here's a important lesson. It's like that lesson's BS. So I don't trust you as a teacher, and I don't trust how you're able to drive lessons from this.
If you're not familiar with the story.
That was Andrew's first day of third grade. No,
if you're not familiar with the story, just Google space pen, pencil, and you'll see.
Yeah. Then people are like, wow, why did I do that? Andrew was just ranting. I should have just ignored him. So experts. This is according to the reputable newspaper, the Daily Star. The incredible announcement comes from Dennis Kowalski. First human frozen by cryonics will be brought back to life in just 10 years. Speaking exclusively to the Daily Star line, Dennis said that the technology is advancing so quickly that he can't keep up with demand. So basically, the idea is like we have this thing now where And we've talked about this before, like the idea of like, you know, one, don't call it frozen. They're sort of lowering the temperature of this. And how I was at a conference where talking afterwards, hanging out on the patio, you know, we're looking at, this was in like a Jekyll Island, Georgia, and talking to some other guys who were big futurists and stuff like this. And one of these guys is kind of big skeptic of like everything and all that. And then the subject of cryogenics comes up and I'm like, yeah, like, I'm not against it, but I'm just like, I'll wait, you know. And then one, they both look at me like, wait, they pull out their pendants like, you're not having yourself frozen, or you're not having yourself preserved. You don't have one of these. I'm like, no, like this is, I'm like in the one place in the world where they're like, what, your seems like such a futurist. Well, you know,
man, it's weird how these little pockets of, overly exuberant, optimistic belief happen or skeptical blind spots. It reminds me of the Y2K bug. Like the Y2K bug was a different sort of doomsday proclamation because only the really, really smart people who know about computers were the ones who were scared. Therefore, it must be a real thing. And of course, it ended up, you know, not being a problem at all. And likewise, you know, the really, really smart people who understand a bunch of experiments, one of the things that you said in that article is that the guy can't keep up with demand, and it seems implied that because so many people want this, we're surely going to technologically figure it out. And maybe we'll someday, but something tells me probably not in our lifetime.
I wouldn't say not.
Also, wait, hold on. I don't know. Isn't that kind of a punt, not in our lifetime? Like, that's just kind of like... Like, that's just like, I don't know, maybe at some point, and an indefined number anywhere between, you know, 50 years and tomorrow.
I'm going to be more bullish on this. All right. I don't think that actually it's a dumb idea if you want to have yourself like preserved cryogenically, whatever. Actually, because we talked about this on a previous show, like you can have insurance policies pay for it. And they're like, if they're going to call you dead and you got the money, then that's fine. We'll take it. We'll pay for it. It's not that expensive. And considering the dumb things I spend money on, I think if I add up, like, you know, all the stupid things in a month I do on the idea of having that, I don't have an issue with it at all. I don't know about the practicality. I don't know enough to really have an informed opinion on it. But as far as the viability of it, we're learning a lot about regenerating tissue. We're learning a lot about how preserving things very, you know, cold, you know, preserving bodies in cold, lower temperatures, things like that. We're being able to do things. We have been able to revive mammals after like 45, 50 minutes. There have been more cases of like, you know, children who have been in snow banks, you know, for like 8 hours that should be dead that were able to be revived. There's a lot of stuff, you know, in that area that I'm hesitant to say that it's that far off, Brian. I don't know. I'm not based upon any like, well, I know this research is other than like, there's a lot of things out there, but you know, the person who dies, they freeze them, or when we keep using the term freeze, it's not really freeze them, but anyhow, the person who dies and then they take them back, they fix what's wrong and bring them back. I don't know. I don't know, but.
And keep in mind, like I too am actually.
You're a Luddite, Brian. We know you.
I too am actually bullish on this. I feel like if there's one thing you don't bet against, it's humanity. Humanity is all the numbers to zero. We've defeated everything. And yes, we have troubles, but we're still kicking and looking to bust out of this petri dish and make robots out of our future bodies and become ethereal space creatures. And it's going to be awesome.
Let's Bryce, can you pull up the photo of the ripped Jeff Bezos showing up at the summit?
Sure. Jeff Bezos in 1999. I sell books. Jeff Bezos in 2017. I sell whatever the F I want. Yeah, there it is.
So now he's, you know, now he's like J.K. Simmons, you know, in a, you know, action role. That is the richest man in the world. That is the richest man in the world right now. Okay. Clearly, he has taken an interest. He's walking away from an explosion. He is clearly taking an interest. And it's funny that before, like him and like Elon Musk, you know, like money does buy happiness. But richest man in the world, clearly doing some reps, worried about his, you know, the future, his health, things like this. And you've got Larry Page, Sergey Brin, you've got Elon Musk, all of them putting money into things that you may not directly call life extension, but really kind of are, in some cases, directly putting money into life extension, promoting that, and be like, oh, people have tried for years, and Chinese emperors did this. It's true. We didn't have modern tech, and for the longest time, you know, even, you know, there are parts of there are people who are anti-promoting longevity. There's people in the medicine who are like, no, you should die a natural death. You know, like, well, should we be sick when we do it? No, no, you should be healthy then die. Well, that doesn't really make any sense, you know?
All these things are impossible until they're inevitable, right? They're like, very rarely do these kind of things go from, like, all right, well, we are very clearly at step three, and we will orderly make our way through 4, 5, 6, and 7 before we're close. It's always, this is never going to happen. There's a million very good reasons why this can happen. Oh, crap, somebody figured out the thing that flips us to, like, 9. And then it's just a matter of iteration to get us to where, you know, the great promise of this kind of stuff is.
I love this Daily Mail graphic that they included to explain cryogenics ends with, take maintains ultra-low temperature, waiting for a medical breakthrough.
Step 5 is...
... profit.
Also, and this will do nothing for the audio listeners, but there's like a silhouette of a woman that I literally thought was a puddle until 5 seconds ago.
You inject the puddle with a solution.
Yeah, I just thought, like, all right.
You put the puddle in a box.
By the way, there's a puddle march tomorrow, Justin. You should go support that and make up for your... So we've asked this question in different sort of contexts here, but let's talk about this. If this technology was real, it was simple. It's like a booth, like a tanning booth kind of thing. You go in there, put a little mask on your face, breathe in, pass out, and you can set the dial. A day, 5 days, a week, a month, a year.
Wait. Are you talking about for our own benefit, cryogenically freeze ourselves future?
Just hibernate.
Just hibernate. Man, I don't know. I don't want to be, a super maudlin. I don't think I would do it for any amount of time. I mean, maybe, I don't know if there's like a movie I really wanted to see, but I don't know if there's any of those.
No, I mean, like here it's 4 o'clock. Ash doesn't get home till 7. And you're like, man, that 3 hours, like, I'll get that 3 hours back.
Yeah, well, and plus also think about this. Let's assume for the experiment that you do not age during that time.
Yeah, no, it's you not don't. Just That's, lost yeah, I'm time. Sorry, let me clarify. Yes, Brian.
So I think about it this way. Would you, I'll tell you what, if it was me, just for me, that would be a very hard sell. But as I get involved with more and more interesting projects, and as my kids grow and as my family grows and as the business grows, it occurs to me, like, if a genie showed up and said, hey, you're going to live X number of years. There's going to be a lot of really interesting stuff that happens after that are all directly related to your interests. Instead of running a 40 more years of whatever your miniature empire is, how would you like to get a good 60 out of it? And all you got to do is, you take weekends off. What do you mean? It's like, well, Friday you just go to bed and then you pop up and then you go. And then all the things that you're waiting on, all the scripts that you had to wait for have written, all the edits that you had have to wait to get done, all of the ad copy, all of the marketing and sales and all that stuff, that'll all be done. So you can make the decisions on Friday, pop in, suddenly it's Monday morning, you have results to work with, you can instantly give feedback on that. The only thing you'll notice from your life is other people will seem to age faster than you. That sounds like a pretty good deal.
Well, I mean, that would be a feature, not a bug for many.
It would call it like Cryo Tuesday Wednesdays, Hump Day Cryo.
The only thing I would say that you should totally not, you should be doing those cryo days Wednesday, Thursday, just right after Night Attack. You go under Wednesday, Thursday. You make all your business decisions. Because if you make your business decisions on Friday and then you wake up Monday, no one's gotten the stuff that.
Oh, good point. All right. Fine. Listen, call Susan, work on my schedule. Let's set this up. But I can see that being a lifestyle that if you could afford it, why wouldn't you do it? And of course, we've talked about in Orson Scott Card's book, The Worthing Saga, in a similar situation, it was the sign of the most elite and powerful that they would wake up for one day per year, like a Lady Gaga or a Madonna level celebrity, and they would be famous for a millennia, and they would wake up for one day and everybody would watch everything they did. I would not like that. That would be horrific.
I think in that world, this real scenario is you come back and nobody gives an F who you are because there's like a million new stars.
Great. And then one day you wake up and there's just rebar poking out of the rubble around you.
Or you wake up like, hey, everybody, I'm here. Like, oh, no, we're all big fans of Old Man Brian.
Yeah.
Old Man Brian. He stayed with us. He stayed with us, you know.
Although, wow, think of the logistics of trying
and
to
you just do
like-
old people's comedy routines, you know. So I'm fishing, and the worm's back there on the hook water ski. You know, nobody knows was like an old like Billy Crystal or whatever routine, you know.
I have a wrinkle for this. Would it change your mind if they say, listen, a lot of people are worried about missing out on a lot of stuff, or what if important things have to be decided or done while you're under? So what we'll do is we have two machines. Before we put you in this machine, we're going to clone you. And so you'll be red team, blue team. You guys are the same person. You're just going to synchronize. You'll get, every time one of you wakes up, the other one will spend 6 hours downloading what happened over the last week. And then you'll take over. And as far as anyone else knows, you'll be a little foggy on Mondays as you get resynced with the rhythm of how all your projects are going. And then everything's back to biz.
Here's my prediction on this one, Brian. Brian wakes up one day. There's dishes in the dishwasher. Stuff needs to get fixed. Because B Brian left that and he's like, fine. Oh. I got this. And end of the day, he's like, F B Brian. F that guy. And you know what? Like, I got an apartment down the street. He's going to wake up there and he's going to have his own life and he can deal with this stuff. Because if I have to stick around here and fix it, then this is my place. B. Brian wakes up in this place and there's a note from A. Brian. Hey, man, we had an agreement and it looks like there was some sort of, you know, miscommunication. It's cool. You've got your own place, your own stuff. I gave you the good, you know, video games.
You know, that's a good question. Is there any way that it doesn't end up in resentment?
No. Look at how, like, you know, think of current self versus future self.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
You are constantly pushing things off to future self.
Yeah, but that's not, look, I mean, that's different. See, the real jerk is past self. He's always pushed stuff off to present me.
Yeah, like we said. Future self and past self.
That would be the question is, could you maintain fellowship of mind, like in your scenario, Brian, where like, cause now it would become theology that you are one, something that you would have to believe in, despite the fact that physical evidence would say that you are two.
Man.
You can't find any clean underwear. You know, you're like, oh, thanks B Brian. Appreciate it. Great.
I would like to believe that there's some magical amount of money I could have that all of that would get easier.
Also, by the way, both of your versions call the other one B. Brian.
That's what I was just thinking.
And you're like, oh, man, I can't wait to go see Ready Player One. And then you have this hazy memory of seeing it. But dude, I had a ticket to see this. Yeah, but Ernie called. He got me a special screening. Was I supposed to say no? No amount of money will fix that.
And it's like, well, maybe I'll go see it today. Brian, the whole reason we're doing this is that you are too busy to go watching movies twice. You've already seen it. It was great. I've given you the synopsis of how you feel about it.
And then you get a voicemail message and it's Justin. It's like, man, that was a great conversation last night. You know, sometimes I forget how valuable our friendship is. And he's like, oh, wait, is this A. Brian or B. Brian's voicemail?
Oh, man.
And then A. Justin and B. Justin, you know, like, you know, isn't A. Justin cooler? No, I kind of like B. Justin better.
You know, you're right, because even if it's pretty much the same person at the beginning, that change is just going to exacerbate over time. No matter how much you intellectually are downloading that same information and keeping it on the same page, you're having different nurture inputs, which is going to result in a different human being.
Well, there's such a fascination. Andrew, I mean, you've worked on ideas about like an entire like cities of clones, and I've always found that idea, you know, so fascinating to see like how the little, like, if we are all different because of our own variances of experiences and everything, right? Like, in a world where everybody's literally the same person, how little do the variances have to be, and at what point do they kind of fork off and you become somebody different?
We ran this experiment in a form several billion years ago. There's this single cell organisms like, look at me, I'm master of the earth. You know, it was like, I'll just split. Look at me, high five. Look at us, we're masters of the earth. We're the perfect form. We're the perfect way to exist. You know, there's a little bit more ultraviolet radiation here. You know, if we had a little bit thicker skin and some more chromatophores there, we could pick it up. Now we're perfect. Oh, oops, mutation. I'm a little bit different now. And now here we are arguing with ourselves.
Yep.
Basically.
So, yeah, kind of. We saw how that turned out. There's a House of 1,000 Suns.
I'm not familiar with that one. Is that a book?
Book. And so the premise is that like somebody in the far future, or maybe one of these like far past, whatever, you could like somebody can clone themselves over and over and over again and basically create their own sort of civilization of themselves and go out across the universe collecting data. You know, one of those things where, you know, you don't have like, I don't think they have fast and light travel, so they have to travel, you know, subliminal speeds and stuff. But it's another, Abigail Gentian, 6 million years ago at the dawn of the Starfaring era, Abigail Gentian fractured herself into 1,000 male and female clones, which she called Shadowlings. But now someone is eliminating the Gentian line. Campion and Purslane, two Shadowlings who have fallen in love and share forbidden experience, must determine exactly who or what their enemy is before they are wiped out of existence. And so it's Alistair Reynolds, who's going to be a great writer.
And this is House of Suns. House of Suns.
Yeah, sorry. I was thinking confused with the Kevin Anderson book. Yeah, House of Suns. So,
right on.
You know, we talk about this divisions, but really it's about coming together. And one of the ways we can come together is, well, you know, for us, for weird things.
Yeah, you can give us money. We love it, man. We rub it on our face and we just like thank the money man every day. The money man is you, or at least it could be if you go over to patreon.com/weirdthings. That's where you can kick us a little change out of your budge, and we're gonna have a good time and keep doing this show. I'm sick. I don't want to be doing this show. I'm doing it. Why? Because money makes me. Money that comes out of your pocket. Head on over to patreon.com/weirdthings right now.
Not only will you be keeping the show happening, but also you get your special RSS feed where you get almost twice as long a show. Instead of an hour and change, we also throw in the after things. And I would say in many respects, some of the most interesting sideways discussions we get into happen in the after things. Rather than having a late separate feed, you could get it all in one feed. Your three best friends plus me. I said three and I realized there was four of us and there was no going back. And at any rate,
Brian pushed himself out the airlock.
That's right. I was just like, go ahead. I put my hand on the airlock. anyway, patreon.com/weirdthings.
Push himself out of the airlock, but we're still in port. All right, guys, I'm doing this.
The rest of the cleaning staff is walking past. We're like, is he doing it again? He's doing it again. Yeah, he does this every
machine right
launch.
Behind you, Brian. You know,
they put a ball pit out there because they know you're just going to keep doing it.
Brian's dead, guys. Brian is dead. Brian died. Oh no, Brian stepped out of the airlock, got incinerated. Right. And there's no Brian left. Whatever can we do? How could we, you know, like, we could clone him, but Brian's, all of his DNA got destroyed.
Oh, man, that sucks, dude. Wait, what are we going to do now? We have no Brians.
This sucks. Oh, wait, Brian had progeny. And he that did. Progeny had progeny. What if?
Keep me in ghost mode, Bryce.
What if?
Guys.
And he's in squish mode, too.
My DNA lives.
What? DNA lives? What if we got the DNA from all of his progeny? All his progeny and were able
also,
to, like...
Also check my wife because that's a real thing. Like the partner's DNA, part of I heard a radio lab on it that the partner's DNA actually is in the blood system in the baby's DNA and all that stuff. It's crazy. But I'm a ghost.
Anyhow, I don't know why we had this weird pause because I heard nothing. So what if we gathered like got DNA of all of his kids, maybe at his grandkids and all of them? We got their DNA. And we knew maybe there was a couple markers to look for of Brian. Could we recreate Brian's original DNA?
I strongly suggest you try.
No, I don't think we can.
That would seem a little. I guess if we're living in a fantasy world where we're creating dinosaurs out of whatever we find out of amber and anything else, like we could probably put together, a Jurassic Park version of Brian, right?
Sure. So, I think.
Wait a minute. Why? Here's an interesting question. Technologically speaking, so you're in committee, right? The Appropriations Committee for all the money in the world. We've got two options. Yes, the entire planet. We want to recreate Brian. Sorry. But we are all agreed on that. But there's two proposals. One proposal is the DNA project, where we grab DNA from all of his children and we look for hairbrushes and everything, and we try to recreate them genealogically. But the simulation faction says, why bother to do that as long as we create something that speaks indistinguishably from Brian, looks in the same as Brian? Like, who cares whether it shares even one iota of his DNA? Like, basically a Turing test faction.
The scientist faction, like, well, Brian may have had some immunities. Brian may have actually had some things that we don't know. There's the missing data. Although, yes, it may satisfy, the ever dwindling fan base of Brian to recreate him.
Release
for that.
The greatest hits DVD. I'm just saying, keep the brand.
Yeah, it may
alive.
Satisfy them. There are some people who say, like, yeah, but we want to know the real Brian, because there are things about him, their behavior mechanisms, things like things. We found that secret room in his house, and we don't know what Brian did in there. We have no idea what he did in there.
Oh, that's right. The simulation wouldn't be able to tell you either.
Yeah,
it would only be able to give a satisfying answer. It could only tell you.
I mean, yeah, again, it's hard. There could be this thing that, like, if you have a gap here and a gap there, it could mean this. You could do lots of like Bayesian sort of guess what could fit here kind of things. But if we look at this DNA, we're like, oh no, like Brian had Cosby Shilophilia. Well, what's that? Oh, like he loved Jell-O. He loved Jell-O. It's just a gene thing. It's a weird genetic thing. He was just obsessed with Jell-O. But we never knew that. We didn't know what he went in there and did there. He actually paid all cash for it, went into the room.
They named it a long time ago, guys. The DSM was a long time.
There's no way that just was off the top of his head.
All the ways that one on the wheel of punchlines could have landed.
I swear to you, that was my pause there was trying to figure out some strange thing, and it was an in the moment thing.
You nailed it. Let me take a moment to stand in right. belly clap for that. That was pretty good.
So I wanted to say Jell-O something. I'm like, oh, well, Cosby. And then it was then I was going to go merchandise. No. And then it was like, he sells it. He shills it. And then Cosby Shillophilia. Okay. Got it. So
even having seen behind the curtain, that was still a worthy endeavor.
Yeah. I will own up to prepared material. And that was in the moment. So anyhow, Brian goes in his room, plays with his Jell-O, because I was not about to do an impersonation of Bill Cosby. Apparently he's under some sort of controversy anyhow. Point is,
hello, Governor, it's me, Bill Cosby. Yeah, all right.
Rightio.
Australian Bill Cosby. That's not a pudding pop.
Oh, you Rudy.
That's not a pudding pop. This is a pudding pop.
Scientists apparently have been able to reconstruct the DNA of a slave born in a Dutch colony in the Caribbean who escaped to Iceland, even though he died 200 years ago and his body had been lost.
Wait a minute.
So,
wait,
they,
from what?
They constructed the DNA of a 200-year-old man without actually having his body.
And is this from the various bits and pieces? From I mean, but how many kids do you have to have? Because you only contribute half the DNA to each of your children. And let's say what? The first child, you got 50%, then 75%, then 82.5%. And within, what? You'd have to have like 100 kids.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't get like 100% of the DNA, but okay. They got a high percentage of the DNA. They say they got like 38% of the maternal DNA. So the matrilineal, so they say they got 38%. They were able to reconstruct a significant chunk of that. And so it was a very interesting experiment, was to say, hey, now, I don't know how much they, the real test is going to be like they actually need to have somebody to test it against.
It seems like it would be valuable, even more valuable, to have the DNA of both the mother and father. It seems like if you had the mother and father, then you have all the source DNA. There's nothing in you that's not your mother and father unless there was a mutation of some sort. Then from the kids, there's nothing – everything the kids had, you had to have. So between those two, it seems like you could very quickly whittle things down.
Yeah, you could get a much – you could figure out large parts of it, large parts of what this person was. You know, if you have a kid, one kid, you know, you can figure out like 50% of the – you know, well, if you have one kid, you don't know which 50% necessarily, because a lot of it just is overlap, whatever. But if you can figure out differences.
Yeah, that's a good point. So-called junk DNA.
Or I mean, just the – you know, we inherit the same things from your mom and your, you know, your dad. Yeah. But same ways to do stuff. But yeah, but you could look for, if you knew what wasn't present in your mom's DNA, you could sort of isolate there. But anyway, it's an interesting thing. We're able to reconstruct a good significant at least part of somebody's genome just through looking at their ancestors.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Brian, there's hope. It won't quite fully be you.
the memory of me thanks you.
Yeah. Anyhow. So what time is it?
It's Journey Quest time!
Journey Quest time?
Yeah.
It is Journey Quest time. Hold on,
I can't even do it.
Previously on
Journey Quest!
Steven didn't make one this week, but the guys went to a jerky store and the guy gave him a lot of jerky and it was creepy and I don't remember how it ended. He was going to show them something?
Yeah.
It's about as helpful as these recaps usually are. Thank you, Steven, so much.
Previously on Journey Quest, Brian and Justin found the world's largest jerky emporium in Texas. And they were made an offer if they would smuggle an atomic bomb into Bryce, Vegas, and kill Bryce.
How funny would it be if, like, Game of Thrones did that one week? Just randomly, just like previously on Game of Thrones. We didn't make one, but Cersei's mean and she's going to kill somebody. And she found out about something that Jamie was doing. And
I fell asleep in the middle of it. I
think
it
was a dragon, I think. Like, I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. Here's the show.
By the way, I'm the president of HBO.
Yeah, it's me.
I fired the guy that does these. And Jim, and they're like, why don't you do it? I'm like, I'll do it. I'm going to go call him.
It's me, Herbert B. Office, the founder and creator of HBO.
Herbert B. Office.
I remember, like, it was like second season Game of Thrones that I always fast forwarded through those. And I'm like, no, those aren't just like random assortments of clips from a previous episode. You know, I'm like, I know what happened in previous season. What am I, an idiot? And I'm like, who is this guy? I'm like, oh. They're doing like, hey, remember this? Yeah, no. Wink, wink. Remember this? Wink, wink.
Yeah, or, you know, just basically, and to be honest, I think that's the same value. That's part of the reason I always go see movies at the Alamo Draft House is because they're curated collection before, and less so now. Nowadays, it's a lot of viral clips, but it used to be that they would specifically pull stuff out seemingly just because it was generally related to the theme when in reality, like, I got a much better experience watching Batman Begins because I was not familiar with the Scarecrow, but instead I got a 20-minute primer on the Scarecrow just, you know, through random Batman clips.
Yeah. So, gentlemen, you've been in the you're in the jerky emporium. You've been asked to smuggle an atomic bomb into Bryce, Vegas, where you're about to go have your big, huge wrestling. You're now pro wrestlers, post-apocalyptic pro wrestlers. Yeah. You've murdered a
number
town,
one post-apocalyptic premier number wrestlers.
Number one. Also, apparently, it's not really pro wrestling because we definitely like murdered people in our first bout.
Hey, so, man, are you saying wrestling's fake? Because wrestling ain't fake. Does this look fake to you when we straight up murdered them?
Yeah, it's true. This is point in your favor. So anyhow, your host has now gone to open up the vault door to show you a prize.
Man, all right, so I take this quick moment to lean over to Justin. I was like,
hey, he's like, prize. This is what I'm going to give you if you do the thing in the bomb.
Okay, all right. Well, I look over to Justin. I was like, look, does it matter how good this thing is? Are we really going to consider committing genocide and killing our old friend Bryce? Even though he's a little touched right now, he's power mad and crazy. But could it possibly be? I mean, how good could the award be that we do this?
Let's also remember that he is almost certainly making jerky out of human beings. Like he's let that
waste
slip
not,
deliberately.
Not. Oh, I'm sorry. The smell of an entire small town that got caught on fire and all the burning human flesh is wafting through my air conditioning system. All right, I'm sorry. You go back to passing judgment on me, please. Thank you.
I'm just saying, like, the obvious. I don't think our moral compasses are necessarily pointing to the same true north.
Okay, well, let's put a pin in this and let's just see what the prize is. Maybe it makes it to where we don't have to really think hard about it.
Wait a minute, hold on. So our firm moral declaration is probably not, but let's see.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Should I commit murder? Should I commit genocide? Probably. Not .. but let's see.
This guy gets it.
Gentlemen, I'm gonna show you what's behind the vault. Ernie, stop peeking. I told you not to peek. Oh, sorry. It's just you walk inside the vault. It's a corridor. Just come on, follow me. Walk down the corridor. It's another door. It's like, hold on, I got a key. But it's like a little rinky-dink key. It's like, I had the vault. It's overkill at this point. I know. Just the door already had a lock on it. I take it off, but it looked like it was like a dorm room thing, and I was lazy. And I really should put like a more secure thing, like one of those like, boop, 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 boop. It's hard to get things in the apocalypse, you know, like an eyeball scanner. That'd be great. I thought about putting
right,
like a
let's
fake
move
one.
It along. You are totally not getting to another next week before you show us what this prize is.
All right. Anyhow, I don't know what you're talking about. Let me just unlock the door here. And it's like it's the door. It makes that hollow sound like the door is like just door skin and air, you know? It's like, yeah. I know you could kick this in like easy. Opens up the door. And it squeaks. I can't even believe it squeaks. You know, I don't let Ernie in here, but he is good at the WD-40. Anyhow.
I begin to wave my chainsaw hand in a let's speed it up Buster gesture.
All right, have a seat. There's leather couches and there's a big screen in front. Big screen, like it's a black, but just dramatic black big screen. Can't tell if you're in a room, big cavernous warehouse. Just there's a screen, there's couches, leather couches, like leather seats. I have a seat, gentlemen. Have a seat.
All right, I do so.
I want to show you something. Pulls out a remote control, presses the button. Boop. Nothing happens. He's like, oh, man, wrong remote. Hold on. Let me dig through here. Let me find another remote here. Boop. Nope. Hold on.
I pipe up saying, do you want to just call Ernie in? I bet Ernie, you know, he probably, we used to have a guy
things.
Who was
not
better than us at all this stuff.
I queue up and start playing the wrap it up music from the Oscars from my my Mac.
All right, hold on. This is going to be good. This is going to be good. Trust me on this one. I had my nephew reprogram these for me and it was great. It's supposed to be easy. He told me to get the Apple TV and make it easier, you know. They'd have Amazon. Now they got Amazon.
I pick up some of the other remotes and just start hitting the power button hoping to help.
TV pops on. I was like, oh, what'd you do?
I was like, I got lucky. Don't worry. Just let's take a look.
It says, dun, 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 dun. A presentation for you. What's you guys? Let's do, guys. It's like, yeah. Gentlemen, you, the voice says, gentlemen, Brian and Justin, you have been tasked by the syndicate for a very special assignment.
I elbow Justin and nod approvingly because I whisper, our reputation precedes us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Bryce. Warlord Bryce, as you know, is a menace. And he's started to see flashback scenes from things that he's done, like murdering entire towns, you know, chopping off, you know, like rocketing off limbs of Brian, and all sorts of horrible things have happened, all because of the evil Bryce. Evil Bryce.
I elbow Justin. I'm like, that was my hand. That was my hand that made the highlight reel.
So wait, hold on, wait. So does it actually show what happened where Brian reached out to grab a rocket screaming by him?
Well, it's an actor playing the part of Brian.
It's
an actor playing the part of Brian.
Okay.
So like, I got this rocket. No!
So it does that. I assume it does a very
Justin's
good job.
Like, hey, man, you don't need to do that. Like, oh, yeah, we haven't nailed down the ethnicity on Justin yet.
So I assume it does a very compelling job of convincing us that Bryce is a menace that must be destroyed. Oh,
yeah. Stomping on children, just horrible, horrible, horrible thing. Right. So anyhow, Bryce is a menace that needs to be stopped. That's why we've selected you two for the mission. Deliver an atomic bomb to Bryce Vegas.
Okay, and what do we get out of this?
I'm glad you asked, what do you get out of this? And I'm glad that I waited the approximate time sitting here in the recording booth 3 weeks ago when I made this.
Dude, you got Dora.
Because right now, we're going to cut to a live shot. All of a sudden, you see live camera footage, and you're looking at a neighborhood, right? It's a nice neighborhood. It kind of looks like a certain neighborhood in Austin, Texas.
Oh, my gosh. Justin, I think I recognize this neighborhood.
You pan up. It's a little different, though. A little bit different. There's a big house. Brian, you may recognize this as a replica of your house.
That is an exact replica of my house.
Across the street. Justin, do you remember this house? No, of course you didn't. You never lived in this house, but you can live in this house. This big, beautiful three-story house could be your house. Let's go up inside. The house door opens. Go upstairs. Up to the third floor. Door opens. There's a podcast studio. A beautiful, amazing, automated podcast studio like this. We go out the hallway. We go look through a window, and we see across the street Brian's house. And we can see that there's another podcast studio. Like a sign that says podcast studio inside here. Don't enter. You go back down. Walk outside. This utopian community, Diamond Club Acres, is under a geodesic dome, and it's protected from the harsh, harsh radiation of the post-apocalyptic world. It has everything. What's this? A barbecue restaurant. Oh, what's this right down here? A bar stocked with every kind of beer and ale that you could possibly imagine. What are these other homes here? Oh, these are for all your favorite fans from Diamond Club.
That are alive, because we apparently keep killing them.
But you're like, oh, but the ones that are alive. Gentlemen, let's go back inside to Brian's door. We open up the door, and there's Bonnie and the kids waving. Hi, Daddy. Let's go run across the street to Justin's house. Open up the door. Who do we see? Ashley waiting for them. We go next door. Brett and his brood are there. Hey, guys. And we go over to the house over there. And there's Andrew going, hi, guys. How you doing? Right?
All right.
And then, uh-oh. What's this? We hear, we feel it. The cameraman just got tapped on the shoulder. He's going to do a slow reveal. Good, Bryce.
I'm wearing a name tag. That's good, Bryce.
I'm good, Bryce. Not bad, Bryce. I'm the good Bryce you remember.
I look over to Justin and establish eye contact, and give just the slightest of subtle winks, and I say, "Well, I wasn't convinced until now. I think this is too good to pass up." Give us the atomic bomb, is my vote.
Yep. we were very skeptical to the point where we were loudly talking about how this was definitely not going to pay off. But now we've 120% turned 180 degrees on this one. Give us the bomb.
Then the camera, you see the camera's aimed at Bryce, and Bryce is like, I'm so sorry. We see a gun come to good Bryce's head.
Oh, no.
He just falls dead on the ground.
Oh, you're like, oh, Justin, don't you realize this is an actual ethical conundrum? Because if we don't go get, if we don't do what they say, they're going to kill all the people there. This isn't just paradise.
No,
they're holding
no,
a hostage.
No. We saw you're apprehensive about Bryce. Now, granted, all the your friends, they're either clones or robot clones. We figured you'd know that, but no, we didn't think you liked him.
Oh, you killed me.
Okay, I say, all right. Well, now you're in trouble. We'll only kill Bryce, bad Bryce, if you promise to bring back good Bryce.
Yeah, no. You hear the sounds of Makita drills, you know, and then good Bryce. Hey guys! Everything's okay here. Everything's okay.
There's only one thing that we absolutely need for us to go in and explode Bryce Vegas. And this, on this, we are non-negotiable. This is either A or B. Because as tantalizing as all this is, we need to have this one condition met.
The syndicate can make these things happen.
We need good Bryce on our team to bring the weapon to Bryce Vegas.
It's the only way. It's the only way.
Gentlemen, voiceover says, this is actually not a voiceover, by the way. I'm doing this live if you haven't figured that out when I told him to kill. Gentlemen, remember how you entered this deep, dark, mysterious room? Go do it, Jerky King. All right, guys. And by the way, we think he's kind of weird, too. He's just a thing. What's that? Nothing, Jerky King. anyhow, press the button. All right, pressing the button. Presses the button. The screen lifts up. Lights come up. Next thing you know, you're in Diamond Town, Diamond Club Acres.
Oh, my God.
The dome. The lights come up. Bum, 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 like Truman Show.
I scream.
But by the way, no, you'll have the real sun. Don't worry. But we can do this thing we can do at night, or we can make it like day. Just a thing.
I sell the bit and I scream like I just found out that I got a car from Oprah. And I giddily go running around and try to do a cartwheel, but discovered that it helps to have two hands to do a cartwheel.
Yeah, and your chainsaw gets stuck in a sewer grating, and you're sort of stuck in like a handstand thing.
And then having a realization, I shout out, also, you can bring back my dog, right?
Arf, 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 arf. A dog comes running up to you. It's not your dog, but it likes you just the same.
I say close enough.
Yeah.
But it's sneakers.
I know. I was going to say, yeah, it's sneakers, and Brian's like, it's fine.
Man, I guess Justin, we got to go collect good Bryce and on the way, not only deliver this atomic bomb, but figure out whether or not we really plan to go through with this. This is a real devil's bargain we've been given.
No, Brian, we're absolutely going to do it. No more hesitations. They've given us everything we've ever wanted, including a home. We don't even have to go to California anymore. In fact, we can now just use this as a front to go blow up Bryce Vegas, reset this this new emerging world on a proper trajectory, and then come back to live the rest of our days here in Diamond Club Acres.
Which is great, because if you double cross us, we are going to use cruise missiles to blow up your loved ones if we know where they are.
Yeah.
Just a little technical detail. The lawyers asked me to put that in there.
Exactly. So what? So you're going to send cruise missiles to Los Angeles, Fresno?
I mean, just where, help where? Us to, because you know, we know where our loved ones are. We just want to see if you really know where they are.
Listen, gentlemen, you're not going to trick me. because these would be GPS coordinates that are in a slip of paper in Good Bryce's pocket, not actual street addresses, because that wouldn't make any sense, because that data is useless.
Okay, well, if you just hand us that atomic bomb, I guess, and our Good Bryce, I guess we'll just be off on a quick little jaunt up the road to go assassinate a town.
Good news, your Good Bryce has been actually... The one we shot didn't make it. We tried to fix him. It just didn't quite. He's a robo model. It's a robot thing. It's fine. You know, we took him into the store. We tried to get it repaired. They're like, you know what? We're just going to give you a new one. We're going to give you a new one.
All right, good. This is actually top of the line Android. This is better, what we need.
Better. Lifelike. Incredibly amazing. Don't hurt this one because he is kind of fragile. Just so you know.
All right.
So way more featured. It's better. It's a better version, to be honest with you. It's better. We call it the Bryce X, and it's got all these amazing features, but he is more fragile than the last Bryce, the Bryce 8. The Bryce 9, we didn't even bother with that one.
Got it. All right. Well, let's collect them. Give us a vehicle. Give us a truck. We're out of here.
All right. Well, Brian, why don't you just look inside your garage?
Oh, I opened the garage. I was like, oh, you got me again. Give my best to the Jerky King.
Parked sideways in a weird way in the garage is the truck from Back to the Future. Remember right. I was parked sideways? You're like yeah. It's really good for camera, but it's really a weird parking job. Biff is just not on the parking game.
That's a good point. Mm. All right. I assume there's a nuke loaded in the back.
Yeah, there's a nuke. It's like
all right.
It's a nuke.
Listen, Justin, there's not enough room for you in your mech suit, so you could either get out of the mech suit and load it in the back. I guess we could bungee cord it on top of the nuke.
We got to get back to – we have a whole entourage waiting for us at the jerky place.
Honk, honk. You turn around. There's the RV and everything. Hey, guys, we're right here.
Okay,
Does
all right.
Need us some help loading the cargo?
Yeah. I say goodbye. Good, Bryce. You drive the nuke. I'm going to take a nap. Let me know when we get to Bryce Vegas.
I like that that's your reunion with Good Bryce.
Yeah,
I'm going to go take a nap.
Start your edge. I mean, it does color things knowing that this is a recently manufactured perfect android clone of Good Bryce.
I think my first response would be, what the hell is Bryce Vegas?
Oh, yeah. We're like, oh, yeah, listen, we're going to have some existential conversations on the way out there. We're going to talk about the nature.
Here's the deal. I'm going to get out of my mech suit, load that in the RV, whatever part of that.
In the storage
pod. Three of us are going to be in the car loaded with the nuke.
Okay. That sounds like a good deal.
Sounds fair enough. Hey, you guys want your beef jerky?
No, weirdo. And then tell new Bryce to peel out.
I stick my head out the window. I'm like, it was really good. It was really, really good.
All right, they're not going to let me stick around here, though. It's a private planned community. Something about not wanting presumed cannibals.
I just out, like, in the distance, I'm like, leave the jerky then. Just leave the jerky. Yeah.
And you see cop cars pull up and, like, arrest the Jerky King, by the way.
Yeah.
Just in the rearview mirror.
But you told me it was okay. I didn't know the syndicate sucks.
And meanwhile, Macabani is writing a strongly worded next door post about, did anybody else see the weird jerky man?
All right, so Brett, we're road tripping.
Mecca Brett standing in the street watching you guys, holding a baby in his arm, looking at you going, choices.
All right, so we're off, and I assume we've cleared the border of Diamond.
Door opens up. You drive out of the dome, and you're like, "Man, it's beautiful in here." But out here, yeah, we do live in an apocalyptic wasteland. The rest of the world is a dump.
All right. Are we? I feel like we're running out of time.
Boom. Oh, sorry. You just had to drive over a 500-pound cockroach. Go ahead.
500 pounds. Holy cow.
Okay, look, Justin, what are we doing? Are we gonna actually blow up this town?
A gnat hit the windshield and it was a big ass gnat. I mean, it was like founder.
Hail to the no.
I didn't think
we're
so.
Gonna drive this thing right into the middle of town. We're gonna have old Robo McSide haircut, walk it right into the center of town, and then we're gonna, I don't know, shoot him or something, and they'll find the bomb. and we'll just say that it was some weird syndicate plan. We don't have to have anything to do with it.
Okay, but
Bryce is like 4 feet away from you right now.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. First of all, hey, real quick, your programming. What's your self preservation instinct? Do you care about staying alive?
I don't want to die.
Okay.
It's my Sorry. Please don't die initiative.
Hey, none of us do. Join the club.
But you do recognize that your life is of lesser value than our lives.
What do you think you can get out of this conversation?
I mean, it's the only logical conclusion, right, Robot Man?
Yeah, right. go ahead and run the Charlie numbers problem? Real quick, and let us know when you come up with the fact that you're less valuable than us.
Are you saying I'm a robot?
Oh, you're robot-like in many ways.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Am I not speaking your language? Beep, bop, boop, boop, bop, boop. Yeah, we're saying you're a robot, kiddo. Welcome to the big leagues.
Oh, jeez. Well.
Hey, also, you ready for a real mind bender? Okay. Actual you, deranged and evil.
No, that one tracks.
So, do you have a problem?
Here's what you're going to do. You're gonna
and
go.
I like that you're berating him as he's driving you and a nuclear bomb.
All right, well, here,
like,
how about this?
You're worthless. You're nothing to us. Jesus.
Hold on, dude.
You're going across a narrow bridge over a ravine right now.
Do you have a problem with the idea of killing your actual human flesh progenitor?
I don't like killing anything.
Yeah, but.
All right, how about this? I'm going to. I hate to do a story in a story here, but like I'm gonna give you your own little moral conundrum. You can rattle this one around your little metal conscience. You are a robot simulation of a maniac lunatic who has tried to kill us multiple times and has almost certainly killed dozens, if not hundreds, if not thousands of others. So how about this? We are going to be your cover to get in to the center of the real use power. You will have the detonation key for a nuclear warhead that you are allowed to either press, or you can walk out and surrender yourself. You can do whatever you want as soon as we leave.
Hey, wait a minute. Justin, why
are you leaving me to die?
On. I know we're supposed to just nuke Bryce Vegas, but it's pretty clear that they just want Bryce out of the picture, right? What if we assassinated Mecha Evil Bryce? And then we pulled a Dave, and we had Robot Bryce pretend to be.
Oh, wait. You want to pull a Dave?
Yeah. Yeah. A little Moon Over Paranor action?
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Now, Brian, you had my curiosity, but now you have my attention.
So then.
You want to Dave this Emmer-Emmer?
That's what I'm saying. We install. He becomes our puppet president, or maybe even actual president. I don't know. It depends on how evil these tendencies are. Okay. But at the very least, we get rid of deranged, evil, biological Bryce and put in smart, pliable, morally flexible.
I am right. I'm looking directly at you.
Yes,
Brian.
But we both know we can talk you into doing this.
So instead of trying to rehabilitate the real me, or negotiate, or just leave me be, you're gonna kill the real me.
These are all really good ideas. I'm glad we're workshopping. See, it sounds like you're on. He's pretty much on board, Justin. We got time to figure out how to implement Look, this.
Hey, how would you like to never be called Robo You again?
Yeah,
because the only surefire way that you can be Robo You is if the other flesh and baloney you is out of this whole picture. So. Like I think we need to start seeing the same world right in front of us, man.
I mean, the math on that checks out. If I'm sticking around in Diamond Club Acres, I'm only gonna get Robo Bryce.
Yeah,
pretty much day in day out.
Yeah. So you feel all right? We got a plan. It's 106 miles to Bryce Vegas. We got a nuke in the back. We have a robot facsimile of a current leader. It's bright, and there's 500-pound cockroaches. Hit it.
Here we go. Also, I grab a magic marker and scrawl a very thin mustache on Robo Price's face so we can play him off as Gustav, our press man.
Yeah. Also, it'll be, make sure it's, I remind you, make sure it's permanent markers so that in the event of a standoff, we know which one we want to shoot.
All right, so yeah, that's your cover. Your Gustav, any press has to go through you. And just follow up with us. Just stay close, basically, because you never know when we're going to wind up killing the head of this town so we can install you as their new unquestioned leader.
Sure. Yeah.
Also, FYI, I don't know if you got like LTE in that the Chrome Dome of yours, but just go ahead and start studying up on strongmen, because you're almost certainly going to have other members of your military wing immediately start trying to kill you if they sense something's off.
Oh yeah, I'll see. I think I might only have Bluetooth 3.0, but
he has to pull out a phone. He pulls out a phone to do that. Yeah. Like, all right, guys.
Just go ahead and read up on that on Wikipedia. Also, you're still driving, so that's fine.
Oh, boom! We just hit another cockroach.
Damn.
Hey, look! You look out the window and you see they're dismantling the Jerky King's billboards.
Like life goes.
That guy was
fast.
A weirdo.
Yeah,
almost certainly a killer. Anyway, yeah. We're going to go murder somebody. Let's do it, team, on yeah. three.
Yeah. As right. you're eating a big chunk of beef jerky.
Credits roll.
wait. There's another billboard. It's got a lot of bright lights spinning around it, neon, everything. And the billboard says,
"Welcome to Bryce Vegas.
Next time on Journey Quest." Viva Bras Vegas.
Journey says,
you changed the game with that Dave plan. That Dave plan was awesome.
I'm proud of that one. That came in last second.
Good turn.
I got a pick, but do you guys have something you're fired up over? Well, then I'll go first.
You go first.
Yeah, I want to plug my friend's book, Here Is Real Magic by Nate Staniforth. It's super good and it made me cry, and it got released this past week. As we've talked about on the show, and initial sales information matters, initial enthusiasm matters. Right now, if you are a fan of the book, if you're already enjoying it, or if you just got it, you're halfway through it, or you just have an opinion about books that you have not yet read, put a review. Reviews matter. The more reviews, the better. At some point, I think, Andrew, for some reason, I have the idea that like getting over 100 reviews is a significant milestone in Amazon. Is that a thing?
There are triggers where the more, if you get review momentum and people buying the book and reviewing it, that's the thing that carries too. They weigh it differently, but it certainly helps a lot. It's certain review, because what'll happen is if you buy Nate's book and you bought, let's say, my book, lots of people who bought my book or let's say one of Brian's books are going to get an email saying, hey, you might also like this, because people who buy this. So reviews help. Buying books really help. That's the thing to think about, too, is that the Kindle version's $10. That counts sort of the same if you want to do that. It does make a big difference. But reviews, if you can do reviews carry momentum. That's really good. It helps increase sort of where things are going.
Yeah, dude. Yes. The book is called Here Is Real Magic. It's pretty great, because we all have that moment in a project where we love the thing and then you get jaded about it. And what a curious situation if you're a magician, somebody whose job is to create wonder, and you sort of lose the mojo to the wonder in your own life and it seems rote and mechanical and you don't see the point of it. Nate went on a real life, very exciting adventure to sort of discover. I don't know, rekindle his mojo. It's delightful and wonderful. He has a passion and sincerity that I absolutely love. I think you'll dig the book, but most importantly, you should review the book.
Yep.
Buy the book and review the book.
Yes.
Number one in Magic and Illusion right now. So
yeah. There you
go. Dude, did I do Jumanji last week?
I know we talked about it on Night Attack. I don't think we talked about it here.
No, you did.
It's number two in Magic Tricks. Number one is Cat Butts, a coloring book, which I do not think is actually a magic book.
Maybe you haven't looked at enough Cat Butts.
Pretty sure it's not a magic book.
Yeah.
It's magical.
All right. Sorry, Justin. You were saying.
Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. I loved it. I thought it was really, really good. Yeah, there was a conversation that I had with Cargill last time I was in Austin. I did their Junk Food Cinema podcast, which is great and everybody should listen to. But we had this conversation about how we are in this like a world where a lot of the stuff that they review, the 80s stuff that is viewed as, you know, like junk food, like the title of the show, is something that is kind of increasingly in vogue. The idea of just unironic, good guy, good times, fun, like earnestness is kind of in vogue. And the first time that I kind of saw that in a big budget movie like this is Jumanji, which I think is probably most notable for the fact that in a reboot of a classic with the kind of talent that you would normally find in a subversive kind of a reboot, like, you know, Jack Black and Kevin Hart, you have basically just a lot of coming of age, good, earnest, fun times. Like, and there's the characters are in real danger and they get, you know, things happen, but it's not the, you know, it's not snide and it's not kind of a dark. It's just big, almost in the way that, you know, like films in the 80s were, just big, colorful, straight ahead, fun. And I really loved it.
That's awesome.
I can't wait to see it. I'm looking forward to that. I have, of course, see Paddington 2.
Oh, yeah. I finally watched Paddington 1, and it was adorable.
Isn't
and
it?
Charming and wonderful, and I laughed. It was great. It didn't have to do that meta, this is secretly a dirty joke for the parents thing. It's like,
no.
Just by being adorable and Wes Anderson-y and everything, I loved it.
Yeah. My pick is, I'm going to pick Twins. You know, I watched that last night. You've been listening to the Arnold Schwarzenegger audiobook, and he talks about working on different movies. What was interesting about Twins is prior to Twins, Arnold's – the only comedy he'd really done was, you know, Hercules Goes to New York, which is available on Hulu right now, by the way, with Arnold's original voice as Arnold Strong. wow. That's all I'll say about that. But Twins was – Arnold had been looking to do – he liked the idea of doing comedy. He'd been hanging out with Milton Berle and these Friars Club comedians and stuff, and they said, you know, Arnold, you should try comedy. And so he was hanging out with Ivan Reitman. It was kind of – Arnold's telling jokes and stuff and was kind of waiting for Ivan Reitman to say, you know, Arnold, you should do comedy. And because there's – in his Reitman says, you know, there's this kind of innocent quality that you can do that would – you know, could work. And – you know, they thought about the idea of that working with Ivan Reitman and Danny DeVito and the three of them together. And the problem was the three of them were box office stars at this point. You know, Reitman is a huge director. This guy, Ghostbusters, done so many hilarious comedic comedies. Arnold was Arnold, you know, heading towards the highest point of his career as far as what his box office was. Danny DeVito was both a writer, you know, producer, writer, and star, could do whatever he wants. So they knew there was no way a studio could afford to pay, you know, whatever their asking price was. So they went to the studio and said, hey, listen, we're going to do the movie for free. We just want a percentage. We want a percentage of the box office.
Oh, wow.
And like a real percentage, not a net, not one of these, you know, kind of real percentage. We want it. Each want a percentage of the box office. So that was the deal they made with the studio. The movie grossed, did $100 million domestic, did another $100 million foreign. This was a movie made in 1988 for $15 million.
Wow.
Arnold said that he's made so far like $35 million off of the movie.
Wow.
Okay. And there is rumor, they're talking, he's trying to get made a sequel called Triplets with Eddie Murphy.
Oh, wild.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. But anyhow, point is, the thing is, the takeaway from that was, hey, no, they don't have the budget to afford this. Okay, what's an alternative? All right, where's the risk? They don't want, the studio didn't want to put, you know, pay $10 million for each actor up front and have to spend $30 million. Like, no, $15 million budget, we get a percentage. So you get, you know, your bottom line is this. And if the movie makes money, obviously we get a big chunk of that. But, you know, it's sort of a win-win. Now the studio, like they said afterwards, the studio says, it was Universal, like, if we were going to do this again, we just would have paid your fees.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that $35 million he got, they could have paid him just $10 million. So, anyhow, That was my pick.
That's the risk, and they had the position to do that, and certainly that's a deal that you see more of now than you probably did at that point. Like the stars and directors had leverage to, you know, even ask the studio for something like that.
Yeah, there was a time where you had that, and then you get sort of less of that because part of the problem you had is you had so much kind of creative accounting that went on and lawsuits over that. That a lot of times they just sort of said, let's just get our money out, you know, let's just get our money. And there have been, it depends if you're powerful enough, whatever, but there have just been enough examples of like studios screwing over whoever they can. Or you look at like
Peter Jackson, right? Didn't he had a huge lawsuit with New Line over the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah. Cause it didn't make a profit apparently.
The hugely unprofitable Lord of the Rings franchise.
Yeah. It happens. So anyhow, Twins is my pick. You know, it's a fun movie. What's cool part, there's a scene in there where we watch a car pull into the supermarket, and that's the supermarket across the street from me, and I see my apartment. I'm like, wow.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I'm like, I know this place. I was there 20 minutes ago getting ice cream.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Can I share a pick?
Yeah.
Please.
Oh. I talked about this last week on Cord Killers, and I watched it and I really liked it. We talk about a lot of new shows on there, and so there's stuff that I'll watch for the show to report on it, but then there's stuff that'll really catch me. And this really caught me in a surprise. It's a new Netflix original anime called Devilman Crybaby. It is a reboot, sort of an old anime from, I want to say, the 80s or the late 70s. And it's about a boy who gets caught up in the fight between heaven and hell on earth and gets possessed by a devil. But because he is of pure heart, instead of being possessed by the devil, he absorbs his powers and sort of becomes an anti-hero to try to save the day and save his family and his friends. And what I really dig about it is that it is really fast and tight in a way that a lot of anime is not always. You get right into the action, and it's not a lot of over-exposition, which I think works well in its favor, and it's also really short. It's only 10 episodes, and they're all a half hour, and the soundtrack is great. It's got this, like, kind of, you know, that kind of in style, like a dark 80s electronic vibe, and you know, some callbacks to the original music, to the original show. It's really cool, and I think a lot of people would like it, even if they're not into anime at all. But it is kind of wonky. Some of the art style is often very bad, or like off model. What we would consider off model, but like all the time. So everyone kind of looks a little different in every shot, just because of the style. But it's really cool. It is also very mature. It's not for the kids. A lot of T, a lot of A, and some V. But it's really cool. It's Devilman Crybaby, and it's on Netflix.
I've actually heard positive buzz on this. Like, people in my Twitter timeline have talked it up, and not just the weebs.
Right.
Dude, 8 out of 10 on IMDb. That's pretty big for an anime.
Yeah, it's incredible, and I think if it sounds like you might like it, I think you really should just try the first episode, because it gets you a good sense of like the really brisk pace and also the like surreal element of it.
Gambling Man in the chat says, let's be clear, Devilman Crybaby is borderline NC-17 in the first episode.
You see, there's a lot of exposed breasts throughout the series and a lot of just barely covered up hoo-has.
Wow.
By that point, I've seen everything.
But it's too late.
Well, and they're also just like depictions of sex and sexual acts. It's... But it's also very violent. It's also super violent, and we have nothing to say about that. So yeah, check it out.
Thanks. Very good. So this was a trial feature. Bryce makes a pick. Let us know how that worked out for you. Good.
Whatever happened? Didn't Bryce used to make picks?
No. Yeah, we let him make a pick, and it was a little bit, on the borderline there. No, sounds good. Yeah, I've seen that. I've heard a lot of good talk about that. I know it might offend my prurient interests. Gentlemen, it's been weird.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.